Tammy Bronner has joined us in the studio here on Sports Byline USA, and a good friend of mine is sitting over here to my left. He played 13 years with the NBA, or in the NBA. I'm talking about Adonel Foyle, and when Tammy came into the studio, I said, I've got somebody here I think you know, because Tammy grew up in the San Francisco, Oakland area, and she would go to Warrior games. How many times did you see him play?
I've lost count.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get a scouting report on you, my friend Adonel. Well, when you saw him play, tell me brutally honestly what you thought about his game.
Dominant. He meant a lot to the Warriors. He was a big part of what they did. Definitely an inside presence.
You've got to take her on the road with you because she's the best PR person you've ever had.
That's why I love her.
You know, you two both have played basketball at very, very high levels, and so I thought it would be kind of interesting to let two professionals kind of go back and forth. And I'm going to turn this over to you, Adonel, and let you kind of talk with Tammy, and you can play off of each other and have some fun with this. I want to listen to this.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, one of the biggest questions is that, having been in the NBA for a very long time, what I liked is my per diem. So I want to know how did you feel when you first get that cash in your hand, and when you're on the road, getting that per diem for the first time?
I felt good. Go out, get what you want, when you want.
I think a lot of guys spend a lot of years in the league, and that's like one of the things that they remember most. I think for me, what I'm interested about, I think what a lot of people like to know is like, how is that chemistry when you get into the locker room? In terms of, you know, you're a girl, you guys could be a little bit rambunctious. Uh-huh. How do you handle that?
Well, for me, it's almost like second nature. I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, off the court, they're just like my brothers. You know, on the court, they're really my motivation. They challenge me all the time. They compete with me all the time. So it's fun. I actually get my own locker room as far as dressing. But when it comes to, you know, before the game, pregame meetings, stretching and all that, we're in the room together. It's like Comedy Central.
I bet. I think, you know, one of the things that happens to me, the best game happens in practice. You know, guys want to take your money. They want to take all your per diem. They want to shoot half-court shot. Uh-huh. How much do you guys get into stuff like that?
Oh, we compete. We compete in practice hard. We go against each other. And they don't take it easy on me because I'm a girl. If I go to the basket, they knock me down, I better get up.
Do you have any questions of him?
Of course. All right. What was one of your greatest moments as an NBA player?
I think it was the first being drafted. I remember my mom coming from the Caribbean. She's never been in a plane, and we were in Charlotte. And, you know, I'm waiting in this green room with about 15 other players, waiting and hoping that your name get called. And I just remember walking across the stage and shaking David Stern hands. And I thought that was an amazing thing. Because you've seen that all your life. And to be able to go there and shake his hand and really cross the stage and you become an NBA player and having no idea what road lies ahead for you.
Right, exactly.
The one thing I remember, I thought he was going to tell me the time he fouled out against Dwight Howard in about 5 minutes.
Oh, great, thanks.
you know,
to build me up.
I would be. This is an interesting conversation and observation, too. I'm just wondering what you, before you became a professional with the Globetrotters, when you looked at a professional basketball player, what is it that you saw? Because you would look at it differently because you are a basketball player. You'd break it down, whether it be their game, whether it be the personality that you think that they have. Tell me what you saw when you saw him or any other professional basketball player.
It is one thing that separates professionals from most people, and that's a mindset. It's a mental race. A lot of guys and girls are very, very talented, but it takes a certain person with a certain mentality to make it to the pros. It's hard work. It's dedication. I'm sure you can attest it's sacrifice above anything. So that's what I see when I see professionals.
I think, you know, a lot of people like to know, like, in terms of, what is your routine like? What is your practice regimen like? And how do you prepare yourself mentally to go up every day against, you know, guys that are trying to take your head?
Right. Exactly. For me, and I'm sure for you, too, as a professional, you know, it's what you do outside of practice. So, you know, for me, you know, a lot of these tricks and some of it's new to me. So it's not what I do in practice. Of course, we're going to work in practice. But when I go home at night, I take a ball with me. You know, I'm up late at night still working on my craft. You know, and that's what we do as professionals. You know, you go in and shoot more, you know, when everybody else is sleeping. But that's what makes you great. That's what makes you better than everyone else.
One of the things that I'm interested in is that you both being professionals travel the country and you're playing basketball. But it's a little bit different for you, Donald, because you would go up against Philadelphia with scouting reports, taking a look at film. You know what they do because you play them several times a year. For you, you're not, you know, it's an entertainment presentation for the Globies, but you're going from town to town. I would suppose that you measure your basketball not only by your performance on the court, but by the way the crowd reacts to you.
Definitely, definitely. The energy of the crowd, how they react, how they respond. I mean, for me, getting smiles, hearing the oohs and ahs after I do something, that's what I measure my performance on.
Tell me some of the towns you've gone into and some of the experiences you've had and some of the crowds you've played before.
I'll first start off by saying Afghanistan, just because it's very unique. And a lot of people think that our shows tend to be driven towards kids, which they are. But they're not just for kids. They're for adults. Because when we entertain those troops, they were adults. And they look like they had more fun than I've seen kids have almost. And then from the other side, I think Chicago was probably one of the best places because I had a little girl run up to me and she said, "Teton." She said, "If you're out here playing with these guys," she said, "I can do whatever I want to do too." So for me, that was like, wow, like I don't want to be only known as a basketball player. I want to be an inspiration to someone. So to have heard that to me was a lot.
Did you ever play when it was 135 degrees like it can get in Afghanistan?
Luckily, we missed that weather.
I can tell you, I have been there when it's been like that. My first experience was in 2005 in Iraq. I'm doing the show, and there is gunfire outside. I was at Mosul, and it was outside the palace, which was the headquarters for the United States effort there at that time. And the gunfire and the grenades going off and everything, I literally stopped in the middle of me doing the show live and turned around and started doing play-by-play to the action. Here come the helicopters. There go the rockets. Boom. The bad guys are gone. I mean, it's just something that kind of blows. And, Donald, as you traveled around the NBA, I know we have talked about this before, your favorite cities and some of your favorite fans, whether they would be heckling you or supporting you.
You know, I like New York City just because of just everything that I love LA. I like the idea that it being fake and being amazing at the same time.
Right.
But I think one of the questions I wanted to ask you is like, what is it like when you play at home? You know, I think that could be emotional. It could be exciting and you can kind of get into a little bit of a trap. So how do you handle playing at home?
Just kind of staying grounded about it. I mean, obviously you're anxious, you're excited, your family, your friends, you know, where you grew up. But just kind of staying grounded. You know, I've learned in athletics, period, you can't get too high or too low on either end because it just throw you completely off. So just kind of staying in that middle area and focusing on what I'm doing.
One of the things that I like about the Warriors game, and I suppose they're still there, I haven't been over for a little while, is what they call Amen Corner. And there are two gentlemen there, and you're smiling, O'Donnell, because I know you've seen this, and I'll never forget this. I had him in on the show, and they're two African-American gentlemen who are successful businessmen who are down on the floor, and they heckle the opposing team's player. And there was one player who left college early. He goes to the foul line, and as he's about ready to shoot, they yell out, "Spell cat, and I'll give you the C and the T." And it just broke everybody up. What other places around the country are they pretty good hecklers and get on you?
Philadelphia. Philadelphia is brutal. I remember we were in Philadelphia one time, and you know, this guy is like writing, "You're the ugliest person I ever seen." He has a clipboard and he's like, so I just look at him like, you know, my mom is in the stands. That's just me. he actually erased it because I actually acknowledge him.
Tammy, how about you? Do they get on you very much?
No, I actually have a lot of supporters. They haven't yet. I hope not. Mm-hmm. I hope not. But I do have a question for you, Adana, for you. So this year, our 87 tour, we have what we call a You Write the Rules tour, right? So what that means is the fans get to pick what they want to see us do each quarter. You can choose anything from two balls at one time, the four-point shot, which, you know, is 35 feet, 12 feet beyond the NBA three-point line, or double the points. So if you were at our game and you were sitting there, what rule would you choose?
Well, let me interject this before you do that. Let me interject this. He would like to have a rule that the ball counts as 2 points even if I miss it or I don't leave the floor.
Or he would like no fouls.
That's it. Definitely no fouls.
Go ahead now. You can answer.
I can't run that much anymore. So it's like I want to be able to just shoot from someplace where I can get right to the bench right away. So you're straight from the bench, shoot a four-point shot, and then come back in. That would be my rule.
All right.
He's the only guy I know that when he made a free throw, he'd raise his hand above his head thinking like he had won the ball game with 2 seconds left.
It was difficult to do that. It wasn't one of my specialties.
You know, the other thing that you don't have to endure that he did is the fact that, and I've said this before, most fans out there don't realize that if you're a professional athlete, you're judged on a moment-to-moment basis. I mean, what you did lately is may mean that you either keep your job or you lose your job.
Right.
The other thing is that when you walk into your office the next day, you don't get booed.
Right.
Generally speaking. And the last thing is that you also don't pick up the paper or turn on the television and hear something said about you. I mean, that is a little bit different, is it not?
That is different, especially for professional sports, because people are always critiquing you. But we're our biggest critiques. When we go in a locker room, if somebody did something out in the game, we're like, hey, we seen that. We didn't miss that type of thing. So we still get it.
Adano, how long did it take you to get a hard shell?
I don't think I ever did. I always try to break that wall. You kind of have to be able to be selective. One of the things that I remember when I first came into the league, a lot of players didn't break that wall, and which is they didn't interact with the fans. You know, so I think one of the things that I wanted to do, I wanted to break that wall. So sometimes when a fan says something that, and I will hear it, I will engage them. You know, I'll say, you know, that hurts. Or, you know, wow, that's really cool. I remember, like, we were playing one time and a fan was shouting, why can't the Warriors have a website? Because they can't put 3 W's together. And I was like, ouch. I'm like, that's harsh. So sometimes you kind of hear it. I think as you get older, you choose when to engage and when not to engage.
Yeah. What is it you like most about playing basketball? Take away the professionalism for just a moment and really strip it down to what really means the most to you about the game.
What means the most probably to me is just being able to do what I love to do. You know, just being able to play my craft every day, and it's my job. And really interacting with the fans. You know, I know, like, the NBA and other sports teams, they don't interact with the fans as much as we do. I mean, we're doing mid-game. We're sitting next to fans. We're pulling them on the floor at times. Afterwards, we sign autographs after every game. So those kind of things mean the most to me.
Do you fully realize that you are a pioneer? I mean, as I said, it's only been 10 women that have ever put on the Globetrotter uniform, and only you're the third in the last 20 years. I mean, do you have a sense of that, and does that make you not play better, but also, you know, feel like you have to pass something on to the fans that come and watch you?
Yeah, it definitely makes me feel like I've opened the door for young ladies and other women coming behind me to understand that, like, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, you set the bar. Don't look at what's been done. Look at what you want to do.
And what do you see has been the reaction to you being that way?
It's been very opening. They've accepted me with open arms, and they love it. Men, women of all ages, they love it.
Yeah. And, Donald, I mean, you've watched the women's game before. What is it that you like about it? One thing I will tell you that I have always heard is that women are coachable. And I don't know that is the case with men, maybe because of the ego, maybe because they have reps. They don't realize they have to prove themselves at the next level when they step up. You and I have talked about that. But when you watch the women's game, what is it that you appreciate about that?
I think, you know, they communicate a lot better than men. I mean, I think, you know, when you watch a women's game, you can almost anticipate without them talking where they're going to be and how they, you know, they're talking to each other all the time. They tend to be much more willing to play within the confines of the team. They're very much about cooperation. The skill level, they tend to be very skilled because, you know, the shooting is a lot better. It may not be like beyond the 3-point, but I think, you know, it's a lot about playing within themselves, playing for each other. And I think that is something that is very, very amazing and admirable.
Tammy, when you walk off the court for the last time as a professional basketball player, because I don't think you'll ever walk off the court, what is it you want to do with your life?
Right now, it's hard for me to see myself doing anything other than what I do. I'm just kind of like, that's where I'm at. But I did coach basketball. I coached women's basketball. I was actually offered a junior college position at Chabot. And I've actually coached men as well at some professional tournaments. And just to go back to what you're saying about men and women and you saying that women are coachable, I think really the difference is men have more egos than women. And the game is slightly different in the sense that men tend to go more towards ISOs, where women are more so
team-oriented.
Let's run our system. Right. You know, so I think that those are really, really big differences. But I have a passion for basketball, and I know that.
Tammy, I got to tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I thought this would be kind of interesting to have you two pros go back and forth on it. Continued good luck. Thank you for coming in and talking about not only your career, your life, but also about a wonderful sports institution in this country, the Harlem Globetrotters. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Tammy Bronner with us, O'Donnell Foyle with us. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.